Great, guys. I also want you to look in your share. You will see where she's asked you to fill out your name earlier, and we're going to be giving away some great things this afternoon or around lunchtime before we get out of here. End of service. With y'all, get nervous. We are leaving by 12. I'm sorry. Some of y'all are like, I got stuff in the oven. Good. I do, too. It's like boxes of pizza from 2 days ago. Yesterday. It's not mine. It's actually Naomi and her friends. But if you do have something, if you didn't put in your share yet, go ahead and do that. For those of you who are on Facebook, I will suggest to you that if you feel led to nominate your mother on Facebook, go to Fellowship Church's page and you'll see that. If you nominate your mom, you'll also have a chance too. Now, you can't nominate yourself. We do have people that will be checking into that. So you want to nominate your mother. And you also have a chance to win something at the end of our service here today. So we'll be giving away two gifts to people we draw. You guys got all that? All right, so here's what I like to do. I like to get our kids up here because without kids, we wouldn't have mothers, and without mothers, we wouldn't have kids. So can I get a couple kids? I'd like for our kids to share something that their mothers are famous for. All right, we got a couple boys. You guys close your eyes for a minute. Everybody in the audience, just close your eyes. And these loving sons have decided today that they want to do their best to kind of, I guess, model or mimic their mothers. And I asked the kids, hey, what is the most famous thing your mother is known for saying? Now, they're going to do their best. We don't have wigs. We don't have purses for the boys to wear, but we do have just one sweet attribute that a mother always has, and that is loving kisses. Can I get an amen? How many of you just have a mother that loves to just give you a big old monkey kiss, is what we call it growing up? Or they do that? Well, I'd like to let our boys tell you one at a time what their mother is famous for. Come on, Wayne, you come up, but guys, y'all keep on looking to the back. Here's Dr. Wayne. Dr. Wayne is going to say what his mother is famous for saying.
I'm a first time in good start.
You guys got that. That was a wellspring of wisdom right there. Impartation from mother. You want to pull it out and let them know what you really said?
My mom tells me to be a good sport.
A good sport. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Come on, Mr. Harley. Let's see what Mr. Harley has to say that's great about his mom. Anybody got that? That was a second, just a big shower of wisdom and direction. What do we really say?
When I'm happy, she's happy.
When I'm happy, she's happy. That's good. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Let's see what this boy has to say. Poor Mom. What is your mother famous for saying?
My mom always tells me that she loves me.
Always tell me that she loves me. You got that part. Now, come on, Roberto. Ooh, looking good, them red lips. What is your mom famous for saying?
She says, smile, it's a beautiful day.
Smile, it's a beautiful day. Amen. Thank you, boys, for being so brave and sharing what your mother is famous for. Listen, we'd like to give away something to all of you sweet mothers out here. Our children are going to help do that. For those of you who want a kiss from one of the gentlemen here, it's going to be $100. Just put that in one of the offering plates. That'll be great. No, honestly, what we'd like to do is just bless our mothers right now, and they're going to be bringing out roses to you. And you know, being a mother, I don't know what that really feels like, but I know what being like a soccer mom, so to speak, is, or a taxi mom, because I worked away from home the first 6 years of my marriage, and Naomi was about 10 months old, and I would only see her on the weekends, and it killed me, and I said, God, you have to have a better plan than this. You have to have a better plan. And he ended up moving us to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is where I was working at. And I prayed to God for years, Lord, I just want to be involved in my children's life. And it's ever since 2005, God gave me the opportunity to bring my kids to school every day and to pick them up from school every day in Louisiana and been able to bless us here in Florida for the last almost 10 years. So I know a little bit about what a mom feels like and what they have to go through. So we just want to bless and honor each and every one of you lovely ladies. I know you don't get enough thank yous from your children. I know you don't get enough sweet cards left on in the refrigerator, and the clothes aren't done just the way you want it, and the beds are never fixed unless the house is going for sale or your mother is showing up. You know what I mean? When grandma shows up, the house has to look right. But thank you so much for your sacrifice, your commitment to the well-being of our children. Raise your hands if you're sure. Yep, they don't know everyone. Now listen, if you have raised your neighbor's kids, please raise your hand. That's a harder job than raising your own sometimes, okay? Just raise your hand. If you have mothered, you fed the football team, the soccer team, all the little hood rats, just a dozen. She must raise them all. I got the whole neighborhood at my house. Anyone else, any lovely lady, raise your hand. You haven't got one rose. I know some of you women are hiding that rose and you want two. That's okay. We got plenty. We know how you operate. That's okay. For those of you cheapskate sons and you want to take a rose for your mother, go ahead. Grab one. That'll work. That'll work. My mom's in Louisiana, so I had to send her something through Amazon this morning. Well, listen, let's pray over your mothers right now. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us such great women. Such great women, Lord. Many of us were the first child, so they had to learn all about mothering. We gave them a run for their money, Lord. We thank you for their love, their undevoted, the love, God. They just give it to us, Lord, relentlessly. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to say undevoted. That was wrong. They are devoted. I would like to introduce to you a lovely woman who has been somewhat my mother until I was brave enough to tell her, I already have a mother. And that's my wife of almost 24 years, Brandy Beaudoin. I've asked her to share something that God would put on her heart for mothers and all of us here this morning. So you men, listen, you better buckle up because you're going to get you some. Amen? Thank you, baby.
Good morning. Am I hot? Yeah? Okay. I hear me now. I need that. Thanks. So it's becoming a tradition here that I share on Mother's Day. And so sometime last week I asked Damon, I was like, so do you want me to do it or what? Because you haven't said anything. He's like, oh, yes, yes, I was going to ask you today. And I was like, okay. So, of course, I was like nervous. Just crank it up 5,000 knobs. That's what I became. But God is always faithful. He always leads me to where I need to go. And I feel like he always gives me a word to give to you that he divinely gives me. And so I can honestly say this is not an original message. I heard this, and it's something that spoke to my heart because it's something that I've been dealing with, and so I felt like God wanted me to share it to you. Okay? So today it's going to be the cost of cover-up. Now, ladies, I'm going to speak to you a lot. You know I always do, but men, you do it too, so don't act all holy and innocent. But ladies are masters at covering up, okay? The industry has made thousands of products for us ladies to cover up things, okay? So I brought a little bag to give y'all some ideas of what we cover up. And so we have the perfume we cover up. Maybe we've been cooking in the kitchen and we smell like fried bacon and we need to go to church, so we spray some on in our hair or on our clothes because we want to smell good. Or maybe we just stink, and we need to smell good. That's all there is to it. Sometimes we just stinky, you know. Okay, anybody know anything about dry shampoo? You haven't washed your hair in a couple days, and it is oily, but guess what? You tired, and you need all the sleep you can get, so you're not going to set your alarm early to wash your hair. You're just going to use you some dry shampoo. That's how we do it, okay? So we go to the beach. What do? We wear a cover-up, okay? Now, ladies, some of you have may not be in this era, but I, in the 40 Club, has definitely experienced the gray thing. And so we either buy this lovely product or we go to the salon and we get our hair colored. I'm in desperate need of that, but anyway. So, ladies, what do? We wear makeup. You got dark circles under your eyes. You're not looking too fresh. You didn't get a good night's sleep. The baby cried and screamed all night, and the husband just can't deal with that. So, this week, I have a 10-year-old. You thought I had a newborn. He's up in my bedroom. Mama, I can't breathe. Mama, my nose is congested. Never goes to daddy's side. Always goes to mama's side. So, we got a cover up. We got some powder that we put on. Okay? You out and about, okay? It wasn't planned. You got to go to Publix. You looking like a hot mess, but you out of eggs, and everything you need to make has eggs in it. And so you really don't want people to see you, so you be pimping your sunglasses in Publix. Say you do. Don't even lie. You know you do, okay? Your breath be stank. What do? You cover it up. You get some gum. You get whatever. We are masters at covering it up. Now, guys, not so much. I mean, I'll honestly say a lot of these products do not apply to our guys, but they will sport a hat, especially when they ain't nothing up on top. You know what I'm saying? So they got to protect themselves, so they'll wear a hat. Teenagers, I thought about y'all. Something y'all might want to cover up. I mean, I think when I was a teenager, Damon gave me one.
Just lost my mic. What y'all think we covering up? Huh? You know it's 100 degrees outside and you never wore a scarf, but you just put it on. Your mama knows you got a hickey. Don't even lie.
That's a mosquito bite.
We all masters of covering up. But the sad thing is we've got so good. We live in a generation that's so good at covering up, that we have begun to cover up things in our life on the inside very well. So today we're going to talk about the cost of cover-up. And I want to read this cute little story, which seems like something Damon would do. A man and his wife decided to go to the drive-in movie, okay? The husband had this bright idea. Damon had this bright idea of trying to save the price of one admission. Just outside of the theater entrance, they stopped the car and the husband slipped into the trunk. The wife then paid for her admission, parked inside, and went back to let her husband out of the trunk. There is only one problem. He had the trunk keys in his pocket. That's so Damon. After their efforts failed, the wife had to call for help. I don't know how many rescue people showed up, but by the time it was all over, everyone knew that they had tried to cheat the theater out of the price of one ticket. When it was all over, neither the husband nor the wife saw the movie. They suffered considerable humiliation, and they had to pay for the repairs to their trunk. So what are we talking about today? The cost of cover-up. How it really looks like a great plan, a great idea. It's the best thing ever, but it comes to bite you in the end. So we're going to learn from someone that had mastered at covering up. So we're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to read there. We're going to start with verse 1. I lie. We ain't reading out of there. Sorry. We're going to go back. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." We're going to pick up in 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I have washed them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. We're going to go back to verse 1. It says right here that Naaman was a valiant soldier. He was highly regarded by his master. So Naaman had worked very, very hard to become who he was, okay? He probably put in a lot of hours of training. He probably put in a lot of hours of serving his king in a mighty way. He probably had very good qualities of leading and directing. So he was highly regarded. So he probably was a pretty proud guy. He was pretty excited about who he had become and how hard he had worked to get there, and he was proud of himself. But guess what? Naaman had a butt. He had leprosy. So back then, we don't really deal with that now. We do deal with other conditions, but leprosy was a skin condition. And it wasn't just a skin condition, it was deadly. And you could hide leprosy for years. It would come on pretty slowly. Sometimes you had a little red rash or a white rash or whatever that would affect you, and then that would develop into something else, and then you might lose your sight, you might lose a limb. But in time, you were going to die. There was no cure, just like diseases we have today. But the thing about leprosy, it was contagious, and everybody was very scared of it. And so you would get to a point where you would be sent off to some type of colony where lepers would live. So they were shunned. They kind of had their own little place, and you didn't associate with anyone else. So you can see where this could cost Naaman a lot if people found out. Because not only would he lose his family, he would lose his title, he would lose what he thought he stood for if people knew he had leprosy, okay? So he was covering it up. But there was 2 people that knew about his leprosy. His wife, of course, and his wife's servant, okay? They saw it, they knew he had it, and he couldn't cover it up for them. And that's how it is in our life, okay? The people that are closest to us are the people that we can't really cover up things. And that's usually our children or our spouse or maybe a sibling, someone that's really close to you. They see the real you. They see who you are at home. And so if you went up to Naomi and you asked her, what kind of mom is Brandy? She would have probably a very clear representation of who I am compared to Shelley, who's never lived with me, who's never really had that type of interaction to know exactly who I am, okay? So as mothers, we handle our children in certain ways, okay? Well, Brandy is a screamer. If you ever come out to my house on any typical day, you might be able to hear me down the street because Aiden has reached my total threshold of patience and I am about to rip his head off. And so I'm probably screaming at that point. And so what I'm really trying to deal with as a person is that's not appropriate. Okay, me screaming at him is not appropriate. That's not Christ-like. And so for me, when I come to church, y'all probably hear me hollering at Aiden, and to some degree, because he's running circles around the church. And I'm like, Aiden, stop running. Aiden, stop running. And then my voice just kind of elevates. And so if any one of y'all have the secret of how you can get your children to pay attention to you without screaming, please let me know. But I'm really trying to work on it. Yesterday, I just grabbed him by the hair and yanked it real hard, and it really, really worked. So that might be my go-to from now on. But sometimes, and I know y'all all know that, he's the worst kid over there. He never sits still. He's never quiet. And so I'm constantly giving him the mama eye. Y'all know y'all all have it, right? And sometimes it doesn't work whatsoever. So last Sunday, I leaned over to Damon and I said, get your son over here now, because I literally was ready to pinch his head off, okay? So a lot of times, we cover up things. I don't really cover up how I deal with Aiden. I mean, I would come up here and spank him in front of y'all. I really wouldn't care. The child is a handful, okay? That's why I have to take out my Revlon hair product. But I am trying to work on the screaming, okay, and the what we call in our house the adult tantrum, okay? Men, y'all have them too. Just the other day, Damon took a hammer to his air compressor, and I thought, I'm sure that fixed it. I'm sure it's great. He told me last night, he's like, I got these new parts and I put this on the air compressor and it is working so good. And I said, did you tell it you were sorry? He's like, no. I said, you should have told it because you was wrong. You beat him up for nothing. So the way we act at home is really who we are, to be honest. We let our guards down. Where are you comfortable not wearing makeup? Where are you comfortable going around your house in your bathrobe? At home. So your kids know the real you. When I walk in the door, Naomi can look at me and say, she'll go over to Aiden. She said, don't you do it. Don't you dare talk to mama. She's in it. She's in a mood. Your children know. And that's where Naaman was. Naaman, he couldn't hide it from his wife, because guess what? He had to get undressed. When he was out and about, he was always in his armor. He was always suited up so he could hide it. Unless it was something with his face, then that's a little harder to hide, but just say if he had several spots, maybe on his arm, his leg, or whatever, he was always armored. He always had his gear up, so he couldn't hide that from the people he lived with who were intimate with him. And so the thing I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to give you four things that real change takes, okay? So for me to take action with my attitude with Aiden, I have to do four things to change within myself, okay? Number one is honesty. Well, guess what? I'm being very honest with y'all today, okay? And it's not because I want y'all to nail me to the cross or something. Like, you know, I'm trying to be honest with, like, what do I deal with? I deal with how do I discipline this child that has So many things. Oh my gosh. Naaman had to be honest. He had to be honest with his boss. And I don't know if y'all have ever been in that situation where you're in a work environment and things aren't exactly the way you want them to be, and you have to go to your boss and you have to speak with them. Maybe you have done something there that was dishonest and you have to confess to it. I don't know about y'all, but that's a hard thing to do. And remember, Naaman was regarded very highly by his boss. And so even though he was nervous, even though he was scared, he also knew that if he stayed where he was, if he stayed in Aram covering up this disease, he was going to die. And so he had to go to his boss. Let's read that again. Naaman, in verse 4, it says, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. And the king replied, by all means, go. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. Okay? So simple. But I bet Naaman was a bucket of nerves. He had every doubt. He had every bit of confusion that you could think of, but he knew if he stayed where he was going to die. And that's where we are today. You're covering up things in your life. It might be alcohol. It might be anger. It might be adultery. It might be bitterness. Whatever it is, if you don't do the real change, you will die spiritually. You will die as a person. You will become something that God never intended you to become if you don't deal with the things that you need to change. Our society says, no big deal. You can cover it up. You can hide it. You can do whatever you need to do. No one needs to know. No one's going to judge you. You're okay. You're doing it. Well, guess what? The guy down the street, he's doing it too, so it's no big deal. But that's not true. That's what the enemy wants us to think. Society has become the greatest, greatest enemy to all of us because society keeps telling us it's no big deal. It's okay. We make movies about it all the time. We have every sitcom known to man that plasters adultery all over it. See, it's okay. You can keep doing it. You don't have to change. That's not important. Don't change your ways and you will surely die. That's what was going to happen to Naaman. He could have stayed there covering it up for a very long time. It says, if you read about leprosy, it says you can live a very long time with it. But eventually, you're going to die. And that's how we are when we continuously cover up our sins and the things that God wants us to change. You can't stay the same. God calls us to be different. So if you act the same way you did when you were an unbeliever, if your mouth is as potty as it was when you weren't a Christian, that's unexcusable. It's unexcusable. You have to change. God has called us to change. Yes, He loves us just the way we are. That will never change. But guess what? He gives us the ability, He gives us the Word of God to change us so that we don't stay the same forever. You should not look the same as you did before Christ. You should be different. You should speak differently. You should act differently. What do you look like to the people in the world? Do you look any different than they do? Do you act any different than they do? Do the words out of your mouth sound any different than an unbeliever? Think about that. God has called us to change. And when we think about change, we think of it as a very, very scary thing. But it's not scary at all. God gives us everything we need to walk through. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He just calls us, number one, to be honest. Today, moms, dads, I'm calling you to be honest with yourself, to be honest with others. Think about, what is it in your life you're covering up? I bet there's something. I bet every single one of you is covering up something. Verse 9 through 12. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and sad. So the second thing we need for real change is simplicity. Elijah didn't even come out to Naaman. He sent his messenger. Because he knew Naaman was coming before he even got there, because the king had sent a letter, right? So he knew, he was prepared. He didn't even come out. Why? The dude had leprosy. He probably didn't want to be around him. To be honest, we don't know that, but he sent the messenger and he said, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Pretty simple, right? He didn't say, "I need you to go get a lamb. We're going to sacrifice the lamb. And then once we do that, I need you to pray for 2 hours. And then once that is done, I need you to travel 200 miles. And I need you to go see this man. And once you get there, he's going to give you this ointment. And this ointment you need to put on. And then once you put that ointment on, you need to travel back 200 more miles. And then you're going to go wash in the Jordan." A little bit more complicated, right? He said, "Go take a bath." Pretty easy, right? We tell our children, "Go take a bath." "Do I have to wash my hair?" Two seconds, they're out of the bathroom, and you thought you were going to die because you had to take a bath. That's who Naaman was. He about fell out on the ground because he had to go take a bath in the Jordan? Are you kidding me? You want to know why? He threw a hissy fit because he wanted drama. He wanted drama. He wanted Elijah to come out there and wave his fairy dust all over him and say, "Hocus pocus," like Cinderella, and he was going to turn into this beautiful pumpkin and this beautiful dress. We want drama. We are a generation that wants drama. We don't want to change our ways. We don't want to do anything different. We want to tell everybody about, "You want to know what my husband did? He did this and he did that. And can I tell you what he said to me and how he looked? And then he went and did this and he went and did that." Drama. We feed on drama when things can be so simple. We can have a wonderful marriage. We can have a beautiful marriage if we learn to communicate with one another, talk about our issues, work things out, compromise. That's what marriage is all about. But we want the drama. We want the things flying across the room. We want holes in the walls. We want the F-bombs coming out. We want to spit in their face. And we want to stay angry for at least 2 weeks. Don't come talk to me. You own 2 weeks time out. We want the drama. Naaman wanted drama. He wanted everyone to see that he was healed. But you know what? He didn't want to take off his armor because people would have seen his nastiness, okay? We don't want to change because we don't want people to really see who we are. But we want that drama because we want people to be excited with us. We want people to get in the groove with us and talk about their man with us and, you know, just back and forth. It's fun. We want to be angry. Naaman was angry that Elijah didn't even have the audacity to come out his house. He sent a messenger? Don't he know who I am? Doesn't he know who sent me? And he won't even come out the house. He was hot. He had the red butt like you had never seen before. Naaman was mad. Why do we get so angry? Do you know why we get so angry? Anger comforts us. Let me say that again. Anger comforts us. Anger says, I don't have to deal with the problem within me. I don't have to address the issue within me. I'm just going to point my finger. Why am I mad? Aiden spilled all his cereal milk on the floor that I just cleaned, and I'm going to be mad for the next 2 days because of that. Naaman went and spent blah, blah, blah money, and we didn't talk about it. But I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be angry for at least 2 weeks about it because I'm the problem. I have the problem. I have the attitude about it. He didn't really do anything because, honestly, we talked about it, and we already compromised on that. But because it wasn't when I wanted, how I wanted, what it looked like, I'm going to be angry because it comforts me. It makes me feel good. Naaman wanted drama. Aiden wants drama all the time. That dude scratches, snort. Oh, Lord. He wants drama all the time. Naaman wanted drama, and so do we. But God gives us change in simple ways. You want to know how simple it is? God, I have a problem. I'm coming to you. Change me. Change me, Lord. Change me. Simple, simple, simple. All Naaman had to do was take a bath. I guess Elijah said, wash your hair too, and that just set him off. That was the end of that. I know that's how it is at my house. You say, wash your hair, it's the end of the world. But he didn't want to take his armor off. I feel that was one of the biggest issues because he didn't want everyone to see his leprosy. Number three, for real change to happen, you need vulnerability. For him to take off his armor, that was his cover-up. Remember, that was like his shield. That was what's keeping everybody from knowing who he really is, who he's all about, what's going on. He had to take that off to take a bath in the Jordan to wash. He had to lay down his pride and talk to people that really cared about him. Okay? Let's read verse 13 again. What does it say? Naaman's servants went to him and said, didn't say his fellow army leaders and commanders and high priest and people of noble. It said his servants. That's the lowest of the low. They went to him and they said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Sometimes we need people in our life that will set us straight. Do you want to know how many people are church hoppers because their deacon or their pastor confronted them about their addiction or their sin that they were living in, and they just get all mad and they go to another church? You need people in your life that's going to say what you're doing right now is unacceptable in the eyes of God. And I'm here to walk with you, to help you, to guide you. But you're being a knucklehead right now. The servants who were not supposed to be speaking to their leader in that manner were pretty much like, dude, you're an idiot. If he would have told you you're going to go down to blah, blah area and there's 5,000 men waiting there, fully armed, fully guarded, but I'm going to need you to go over there and conquer that land, you would have geared up and went. But the dude said, go take a bath, and you wobbling around on the ground like a baby. That's what we do when people that are in our lives, that love us, that respect us, that would do anything for us, when they point out your sin or your character defect, that's what we do. We lay down on the ground, we have our adult temper tantrum, and we go somewhere else. We can't be friends with those people anymore. I can't believe she told me that. I can't believe she spoke that over me. No, you should believe it, because they love you enough to tell you when you're a knucklehead. And that's who his servants were. They loved Naaman. They had been with Naaman through the good, the bad, the ugly, and they loved him. And they wanted him to get healing. They wanted him to have a breakthrough. They wanted the best for their, they called him father. It says, my father. They loved and respected him. They esteemed him. Father is a very, very noble title to call someone that. And they knew if he didn't suck it up and get off the ground whining like a two-year-old and just go take a bath, that he was going to die. And they didn't want that. They loved him. They didn't want to see him die. They wanted him in their life. So I bet they were scared, don't you think? They're servants. They're nobodies. But they had enough love and respect to say, dude, come on now. All you have to do is take a bath. That's what mama say every night. Just go take a bath. Please. Please. You stink. Please go take a bath. So Naaman was told to wash 7 times. Number 4. For real change to happen, you need consistency. Why was it 7 times? Why wasn't it 2 times? Why wasn't it 4 times? Why wasn't it 5 times? Consistency. He needed to put forth some effort. Okay? Elijah was like, you're going to work a little bit harder. I want everyone to see that you have leprosy. I want you to be vulnerable. I want you to put it all out there. I want everyone to know that you're putting down your pride. You're putting down everything. You really want change to happen. So we live in a generation where we want everything fast. We want it now. We want it yesterday. We want it the day before. And we want it bigger, better, and everything. Well, guess what? Naaman, he got that. His skin was better than it was ever before. He was healed. But he had to put forth 7 baths. Oh, my. Aiden may not have made it. 7 baths. Oh, my gosh. Consistency, y'all. Y'all want real change in your life? It's going to take more than 1 time. It's not going to take more than going to God 1 time and saying, I'm changing. I'm changing. No, you got to go. You got to do it. You got to work for it. You got to go harder and faster and stronger. And you got to keep it up. You got to be consistent if you want real change in your life. You can't lay down and be a two-year-old with your little temper tantrum. You have to be consistent. You have to go to people that love you. What do we need? 4 things for real change to happen. We need honesty. Be honest with yourself, guys. I know there's someone in here today that can honestly say, man, I've been going to that church for a month, and they don't know a thing about me because I'm so good with covering it up. Today's your day to be honest. To be honest. honest with yourself, honest with the people that love you, honest with the God, your Father, who created you, who would do anything for you. He already knows anyway. He knows. He's just waiting on you to get honest. He's not going to change you if you're just going to lay there and be that little two-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. You have no care in the world. You don't plan on changing. You don't want to change. You love where you are. Well, guess what? He's not going to change you. You have to be honest. It's simple. God has made it very simple for us, but you have to be honest, you have to be vulnerable, and you have to be ready to work. You got to work. Everything in life takes work. We can thank Eve for that. Hallelujah. You want to be a mama? It's going to take a whole lot of work. You're going to get fat, you're going to get stretch marks, and you got to lose the weight. Then you got to deal with every issue known to man, and you got to lose sleep, you got to get gray hair. It's going to take work. Getting them kids out the house is going to take work. Everything in life takes work. Real change in your life is going to take consistency. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share the word, Lord. I just pray for each and every one that is here today, Father. Whatever they decided to cover up today, yesterday, the day before, I pray, Father, for conviction upon them right now. I pray that they would look upon within themselves and say, what is in me that I am covering up? What is within me that I am covering up? I know, God, they are exhausted. There's nothing more exhausting than trying to live two different lives. Father, I just pray that they will come forth, come to the altar today, lay it all before you, and be honest. Just be honest for a change. Father, I thank you that you give us this opportunity to come to you and lay it all before your feet, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.